talk to somebody, I want to communicate that God loves them and is in love with them and is pursuing them. And yet, there is a side to God that we charismaniacs do not like to talk about. That yes, God is loving, but he is also holy and he is also just. Amen. So I'm gonna be having a talk. I feel like I've got to sit down with the kid and have a fatherly talk tonight with you guys. Because we've got to set a standard tonight. And that is what we're gonna be talking. But before we go anywhere, last week I gave a set of scriptures. You go to the next slide. Two of you guys remember these scriptures? Okay, so take out your cell phone, take a picture. What we're doing is we are putting out the challenge that if you can memorize all these scriptures, there are three 250 Rand Musica vouchers up for grabs if you can memorize all of these scriptures. Okay, so my wife has already done it. Gosh. Hey, Leafy. Hey, Samoy. You look so nice today. Oh. And Noah, have you done it? Gosh, okay. So Monica said she's not going to claim hers, but now there's only two Musica vouchers up for grabs. So hope you guys are taking pictures. I'm going to be checking up on you guys next week. I'm not going to put people in the spot this week. Okay, but let's move on. So I also sent the list to Armu. He's going to distribute it as well as I am. We'll put it on the small group WhatsApp groups. If you don't have it, come get it from me. Okay, so we need to have an important talk, like I said. We need to talk about the fear of the Lord. And when I say fear of the Lord, what do you think? Okay, that is what I want you to say. So I want you guys to break up into groups of 4 or 5 or more. Right now, let's go. Break up into groups, 4 or 5. And you're going to talk about when I say fear of the Lord, when I say turn or burn, what are you thinking? What are you thinking about? What images does it evoke? I'm going to give you guys 5 minutes. Okay, all I'm saying, this side is winning, eh? They finished. Yeah, and it is a competition, of course it is. Okay, like, let's get some feedback. Who wants to give us some feedback this side? Nobody all at once. Come on. Otherwise, I'm going to pick up on some people.
Okay, hello everyone. We said that the fear of the Lord is the opposite of the fear of man. And then when you have the fear of the Lord, you don't need to have the fear of man. And we also said that it's like having respect for your father. You know what he's capable of, and you don't want to provoke his anger. So it's not out of a fear necessarily like the fear of man, but you do it out of respect. You do it because you know he's the almighty God, and he's capable of so much more than we can think of. And it's also, Yanni said, it's when you are born again, or when you believe in God, you think that you encounter people that believe that when you sin, it's not necessarily that bad because there's grace from God. But when you have fear of the Lord, you don't need to depend on that grace of God because you don't want to sin. Later,
Okay, so basically I say that when you have fear of the Lord, your intention will not be to sin because it's okay, you know, I did this wrong, but don't worry, there's grace. Your intention will be to live a pure and righteous life. So you will sin because you're human, but it will obviously, you will try not to do it on purpose. And that's why you fear the Lord, is to do with your whole heart to try and do the right thing.
Cool. And somebody this side? Gary, you're looking like you got a lot of answers. Imanti, so Stefan? Yes. Yeah, okay. He's used to talking in public.
Okay, thank you, Luke. The biggest things that just came from our group was actually what Johan and Jeannie said, you know. First of all, like not being in the Lord's presence, actually having a fear of missing out on his presence. And the other also major thing was actually just knowing how big and how powerful God is and how he can just completely, at will, he can just crush us if he wants to. But just knowing that, that how God is so strong and that he has the power over the over death and all those things as well. So, yeah.
Okay, like let's get one more. Let's pick on this side again. Okay, we have volunteers, sure.
We just use an example to say if you have to get, like, if you get word for somebody to go and share to them, if you're scared to go and speak to that person, it means you have fear of man. But if you go and speak to that person, it means you have fear of God because you obey God and you listen to what he says and you respect that. So.
Okay, great. So we're hearing a lot of respect, okay? So there's a respect, there's a reverence of God when we talk about the fear of the Lord, right? Okay, I agree. It's not like I disagreed with anybody what we said. There's a fear of missing out, spiritual FOMO, if you will. That's it, Stefan? Basically, yeah, okay. That's why they pay me the big bucks, to summarize everybody. Spiritual FOMO, it's a fear of missing out. Somebody said it, Stefan. The fact that God can crush your world. Let's check out the scripture. Let's put things in perspective. Matthew 10, verse 28. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. That's man, okay? Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Okay. I dislike Al Gore because he penned the saying "inconvenient truth." This is one of those inconvenient truths. Okay, where we as Christians we understand that God is a loving God, that we want to have a relationship with God. But I think sometimes we've got to take a step back. We get a little bit chummy with God. We get a bit too familiar with him, you know. And there isn't this respect, this reverence. You're dealing with a power that can crush you at will. There's a story of a guy, and he's going through life, and he's completely and utterly scared of his circumstances and scared of things that happen around him. And when I first met him, you know, I'd pray for him and I'd say, okay, you know, I just feel God saying you must go anoint your room and, you know, just start praying over your circumstances. And then I'd meet him again about a week later. So I said, did you anoint your room? He says, yes, every single day, 12 hours, every 12 hours, anoint my room. You know, he's already bought 3 bottles of olive oil. You know, that isn't the fear that I'm talking about. Because on one hand, God says that I have not given you a spirit of fear, right? I've given you a spirit of love, sound mind. Power, love, and sound mind. Anybody know where that is? Okay. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. Okay, lekker. So you know, how do we reconcile these two ideas? Okay, we've got a God who says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. But then we get a bit too familiar with God and we stop taking him seriously. Okay. We're going to start talking more about that. But I just want to get back to this verse. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. When I read a scripture like this, or when I first read a scripture like this, I was thinking, so does that mean that God loves us sometimes? Have you ever asked the question, how can a good God send people to hell. If we proclaim that God is loving, if we proclaim that he's good, how can he send somebody to hell? Have you ever asked that question? Okay? It's a good question, and it's a good question to ask because people that aren't Christians are asking that question. That's why it's a good question. I've got a cool answer for it. I'm not gonna give it. If you want to come ask me, you're more than welcome to. But I'm challenging you. Go and find the answer to that question for yourself. Question is, how can a good God, how can a loving God send people to hell? And it comes down to this. Okay, God is a loving God, but he is also holy. Okay, he is also just. Not only that, but he has called you to live a life of holiness. Okay? 1 Peter 1 verse 16 says, "Be holy, for I am holy." So here's a question. Okay? What does your Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, or whatever social media account, if I was to take it out and I was going to go look on it, what would it say about you? Okay? What are the kind of things that people would read on there? Would it talk about your beliefs in a God that is holy and just, that is loving? Okay? Or do we live one life on a Sunday, but when we go home, we start talking to our family members like they do it. We start talking to people in our school like they do it. Do we say nice things to people at church, but then when we go home, there's no connection? And it comes down to this thing of holiness. So then that's the question, what is holiness? If I say, be holy, if God says to you, be holy for I am holy, what is holiness? Somebody have an answer? To be holy, what is it to be holy? To be set apart. Okay. So, when God says, be holy, he's saying, I need you to be set apart. Okay. That you live life by a different set of rules. Okay. Because you've got to understand that you are an ambassador. Anybody know what an ambassador is? Okay. Would you have an ambassador from a foreign country? They come to your country, and they are the communication channel between you and that country. So here in South Africa, the ambassador of America comes and lives in South Africa, and whenever Jacob Zuma wants to talk to somebody from America, he phones up the ambassador. And the American ambassador has the full power and authority of the whole United States here in South Africa. All its military power, all its diplomatic, all its political power, that ambassador has. And when Jesus left Earth in the Great Commission, first part of the Great Commission, anybody know what it says? Poch team, you can't answer because you're at church this morning. Anybody know what it says? Jesus says to them, he says, all authority has been given to me. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I am with you till the end of the age. So you are an ambassador of Christ right here and right now. Okay? That means that all the authority, all the power of God and his entire kingdom is on you right now where you sit. Okay, if that does not put the fear of God into you, okay, that means that when you say, yes, it will be done, it is done. Jesus says to Peter, he says, what you bound on earth will be bound in heaven. What you bound in heaven will be bound on earth. What you loose in heaven will be loose on earth. Isn't that amazing? That is the authority that you have. You are an ambassador. But likewise, if the ambassador decides that he's going to go on a drinking spree in Johannesburg and go crash his car, do you know who that's going to reflect on? It's not going to be the ambassador of America's problem. That's going to be actual America's problem. That is going to be a reflection of the country. He is going to embarrass his country. Likewise, you being an ambassador, you've got to understand that you do not represent you, your own person. Okay? You represent the kingdom of God. And when people look at you, when people look at your social media accounts, when people see the way that you interact with your family and with your friends and people outside of church, what they see is a reflection of God. This is God's ambassador here on earth. If this is how his ambassador acts, what does that say about God? Right? So there's a fear of the Lord issue here. Because some of us, we're guilty of acting like spoiled brats. I'm saying that with all the love in the world. Okay. And we are guilty of being irreverent towards God. And Johan brought a message and Craig, and I don't know if you know, but they were kind of opposite ends of the spectrum. On one hand, you know, there's a serious issue of lawlessness that we need to address in our church. That God has called us to be holy, to be set apart, to live different lives to what the world dictates and says is okay. But we're too okay with ripping each other off. We start bad-mouthing other churches, you know. It's cool in conversation to go knock the Enger church or other churches that proclaim the name of Jesus. Can I say to you that you guys sitting here in your seats today, you guys are able to express a freedom of religion, a freedom. You are free here to worship Jesus Christ because of what the Dutch Reformed Church has done in this country. They have laid the foundation of Christianity in this country. They have been good ambassadors, and perhaps we might disagree theologically on a few points. But the question is, I want to ask you, if I was to go look at your social media accounts, if I was to have a conversation with you about how are you being an ambassador for Christ, what would you as a person say about Jesus? What could I read about Jesus from spending 5 minutes with you? And there's an idea of the fear of the Lord in there. Okay? Because when I ask that question, what you've got to be thinking is, do my actions reflect the character of Jesus Christ? When somebody says, you know, you should do this, I don't know if you've ever heard it. You know, you go speak to somebody and say, you shouldn't do that. And they'll go, yeah, well, that person did this to me, so, you know, it's okay. You know, it's justified. You know, we base our character and our decisions on the decisions and the character of other people, not on what the Word of God says. We think it's okay to hurt people because they've hurt us. What does the Word of God say? Somebody hits you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. Somebody asks you to walk a mile with them, walk 2 miles. Somebody asks for your cloak, give them your tunic as well. You get what I'm saying? There's a standard that we've been called to, and we are guilty of not living up to that standard. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. I want to focus on this word appeal. There's a God who loves you. There's a God who cares about you. Last week I read from Romans 8, and it says that there's no power, there's no principality, there's no depth, there's no height, there's no width, there's no height, there's no, I said that before, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. There's a God who is anxiously and earnestly persistently, consistently trying to get to you, to have a relationship with you. And here he says, that appeal, I want you to look at that word appeal, that pleading, that this last-ditch effort attempt. There's this picture that I get, God's on his knees, and that appeal he's making through you as his ambassadors. That message of love to the world, to the people around us, he wants to make through you. But it requires you to commit to a life of holiness, to be, because you are called to be holy, for God is holy. There's a calling for you to mimic God and his character. And it's hard. It is tough. If I'm honest with you, it's a standard that I personally do not live up to. If I'm honest with you. I don't struggle with condemnation, I don't struggle with religiousness, but I step over the boundaries a lot. I'm too okay with crossing the line, testing where the boundaries are. I'm too okay with throwing in the odd swear word because I think I'm an edgy Christian and I want to be cool. I'm too okay with, you know, telling white lies so that I don't have to explain myself too much. But it's okay, you know. It's not the truth, but it's not going to hurt anyone. I'm too okay with talking to somebody in the street one way and then I go home and I see my parents and I treat them like dirt. I mean, I don't know about you, but my family, they know how to push the buttons. You know, you go home. I love them and I miss them, but when it comes to the end of the holiday, it's time to go home, you know. But I'm too okay with it. And God is saying to me personally, saying, Luke, I've called you to a life of holiness. And if I'm honest, as I'm standing in front of you today, I need to repent. Because I know that God has called me to be an ambassador for Christ, to be an example to you guys. And my prayer and my goal is that one day I can live up to those expectations that Christ has for me. And I have a choice. I have a choice here. Okay? And I'm throwing the same choice at you tonight as well. Let's stand up. We're going to talk about this choice now. If I can ask some of the members of the band if they can come up. We're going to go into time of ministry just now. But there's a decision that we have to make tonight that God has been telling me I have to make. On the one hand, okay, I can say, you know, God, your standards, they're cool, you know. And, you know, I love, as David says, I love your law. You know, it sounds cool. You know, all those Bible people, they're awesome people and they lived holy lives. And that's cool. But, you know, I don't feel that it's for me and I don't feel I can do it. And this is the decision that you will have made. Is that you're going to take God's word and you're going to water it down. So that it comes down to your level. That's one way to live according to the word of God. Is if you take his word, you water it down, you take out all the bits that you don't like. And that's what's happened. That's what's going on in society today. Okay? We don't want to answer to our sexual preferences, and so we decide, you know, God, you can't speak to our sexuality, so it's okay to be homosexual. It's okay to sleep before I get married, to sleep around before I get married. Because, you know, God, just waiting till I get married, you know, just not quite doing it for me. It's a little too hard. You don't understand my hormones. You know, she's a really pretty girl. God, I don't think you quite understand. So, you know, you can't speak into my sexuality. You can't go there. God, I understand that you're saying that, you know, I need to be honest, but it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. You know, if I'm going to survive, if I'm going to make a living, you know, I've got to sort of fit into that. Okay, it's not personal, God. It's just business. Okay, so don't talk to me about integrity, God, because you don't understand what I'm going through. Okay, you don't understand that, you know, there's one job and there's 10 people going for it, and if I don't do something special and extra on the side, God, you know what? I'm not going to get that job. And on the other hand, there's a decision that says, you know what, God, I want to live for you. And I'm coming to you today and I'm saying that I cannot do it. I'm failing miserably. There's a standard of living that you've called me to, and I'm not able to do it. But God, I ask for your grace. Your grace that is here to empower me. As Johan said, there's a grace that gives you life in abundance. God, I'm making a commitment today. Whether it takes me my whole life, Father, I want to be holy as you are holy. Father, I'm not backing down. Father, I commit to treat everybody equally as you would have treated them. Father, the least of these, Father, I will treat with the love and respect that you would treat them. Father, I will treat them as if I'm talking to you. As it says in your word, that the way that you treated the least of these, you treated me. Father, I don't care if it costs me my job. I'm not going to compromise. I will tell the truth. I will be an ambassador for the truth, Father. If that is you tonight, if you want to make that commitment, I want you to come forward. Because we're going to make a commitment, God. We want to lead holy lives. Just as you come forward, let's just get on our knees. Let's just bow down towards God, a holy God. Father, I just want to come and repent, Father, of just taking you lightly, Father, of taking your presence lightly. Father, I want to repent of not living up to your standards, Father. Father, I'm struggling, Father. I cannot do it. Your ways are higher than my ways, and at this moment I cannot reach them, Father. Father, I just want to repent where I've watered down your law, I've watered down your precepts, Lord Father God, to suit me, to make me feel okay, to make me feel better where I am, Father. But Father, I understand tonight that there's a form of lawlessness I'm just not willing to live with anymore. Father, I'm saying that I cannot reach it. But I thank you, Lord Father, that my salvation does not come from that law, Father. I just want to thank you for that. That my salvation comes from the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross. And through him I am saved, Father. So I understand that I'm kneeling here before you. I'm in this room here tonight, and I know that I don't need the law to save me, Father. I thank you that I am already saved. But Father, I'm making that choice. I'm making that choice to be holy because I want the world to be saved. There are nations and generations, Father, that are crying out for a Father. And I want to be the light to the world. And I understand that that requires a certain level of holiness that I've not been reaching out to. I pray for your grace, Father, that it would come upon me, Father. I pray God's grace on every single person here tonight. That God would give you the grace to live according to his holiness, according to his law, according to his precepts. Father, I love your ways. I love you, Father, because you are good. And your ways are good, Father. I thank you for your rod and your staff that comfort me, Father. I repent of running away from your discipline, Father God. Just where you are, I just want you to bow your head. I just want you to have a conversation with God. If what I've said has resonated with you, there's just a conversation I want you to have with God. This decision that I've asked you, are you going to water down God's law to suit your needs? Or are you going to make a decision that by his grace, not at your own power, because it's impossible. The law has taught us that it's impossible to live up to the law. But by the grace of God, we can live holy lives. And this is the decision that I want you to make. It's a personal decision. It's between you and God. I just want you to take a few moments before God. Just as we're kneeling or sitting, if you're making that choice, Father, I'm going to live a holy life. By your grace, Father, I'm going to live a holy life. Just as a prophetic act, I just want you to stand. And then we're just going to continue in worship. Father, today I make a decision to stand for what is right, Father. Father, today I make a decision to stand for your holiness, Father God. Father, I will be an ambassador for you, Father. By my life, Father, by my sacrifice as I lay my life down, as I pick up my cross, Father, people will come to know Jesus Christ through my life and through my actions, Father God. Father, I make this decision to be set apart, Father. Because I understand that I'm a stranger in this world. I'm just passing through. I'm not living for this world, I'm living for the next. We're gonna continue in worship, but I also feel that there are some people here tonight. I'm talking about a holy God. I'm talking about a God that loves you. Okay. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, if you have never met this God before, okay, just while all the eyes are closed, all the heads are bowed, let's just bow our eyes, just close our eyes. But I feel that God, there's some people that God wants to meet tonight. There's a desire in you to do good. There's a desire in you to be more, to be something. But you're feeling like you can never live up to something. If that is you, you're getting exactly what I'm talking about tonight. Because it's not by our will. But I want to introduce you to somebody who has the power to make you beyond anything that you can imagine. He wants to glorify himself through you. There is a loving God who wants to meet you, who has called you for something more, called you to be set aside. And just while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, if that is you tonight, I just want you to stick up your hand where you're standing. Thanks for those hands. Thank you. Thank you for that. And then I'm going to ask you to do something brave again. I'm going to ask you if you could come to where I'm standing over here. Just if you put up your hand, if you want to encounter this God who loves you, has called you for something more, I just want you to come stand where I am over here. We're just going to continue in worship. We're going to pray for these guys here. As the leaders are going to come by and pray for you and anoint you. And as they're doing, we're just going to continue with the worship song. We're going to pray for these guys over here, okay?